This recording, Colorado 1, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory, so she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much." But Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. It still had a small town feel to it in that neighborhood. People were close. There was a lot of families there where the fathers had purchased their first house after World War II, because this would have been anywhere from 1949 through 55, 56. And that's when my parents purchased the house, was in 1956. And so there was a lot of people still looking for that small town feel in a neighborhood within a large city like Denver. Denver was still had even a rural flavor at that point. I can remember there were at one point streetcars in Denver. And there was matter of fact, as you go down, it was Alameda Avenue as it went, just kind of by the Gates Rubber Plant. You could still see it in the distance across the Platte River. You could still see the railroad tracks under the pavement after the winter snows had melted off. You could still see those railroad tracks from the streetcars. There were streetcars in Englewood, which wasn't too far away. But, of course, we didn't get to drive very much. We had one car. And my parents both had to share it. I was an only child.